Welcome to the Chosen People radio program, a production of Chosen People Ministries. On this program, you'll hear inspiring stories, learn about messianic apologetics, and discover God's plan for Israel and you. Now let's welcome our hosts, Mitch Glazer, president of Chosen People Ministries, and Robert Walter, our New York regional director.
Shalom, dear friend, and thank you so much for tuning in to the Chosen People. And with me today is Bobby Walter, who is my colleague in Brooklyn, New York, and who loves pizza and bagels almost as much as I do. But now in Brooklyn, actually, the Russian food is pretty good, Bobby, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah. Pizza, bagels, borscht.
Pizza.
Yeah.
I would like a t-shirt that says that. Pizza, bagels, and borscht. That's funny. And so we love serving the Lord in the greater New York area because there are so many millions of Jewish people in the New York area, and Chosen People Ministries, ever since 1894, has been reaching Jewish people in New York City and beyond. We now have ministries in over 20 countries, a couple dozen cities in one way or another, all throughout North America, and God is doing some really wonderful things among the Jewish people. And a lot of what we do, of course, is rooted and grounded in Scripture. I mean, the Bible is the basis for our ministry, no doubt. Basis for our life and our ministry, of course. And so we've been going through Romans 9 through 11, and we started with Romans 11, and now we're back to Romans chapter 9. So we're doing it right to left, which is Jewish style. You know, Hebrew's written right to left. And so we're going to be looking at chapter 9 of the book of Romans. And I remember when I was in Bible college as a new believer, and one of my professors gave us an outline for the book of Romans. Romans 1 through 3, sin, 4 and 5, salvation, 6 through 8, sanctification. Then Romans 9 through 11, Paul's personal diversion about the Jewish people. And then Romans 12 through 16, practical exhortations on the major doctrines in Romans 1 through 8. You know, I knew that wasn't right even back then, but I knew so little about the New Testament. I was only a believer about 9 months. I shouldn't have been in Bible college, but they let me in. But I knew that something was wrong with that. And over the years, I really have come to see that Romans 9, 10, and 11 is really the heart of the book of Romans. And this is where Paul talks about one of the great doctrines, and that's the relationship between the Jewish people and the church. And that is significant. He picks that up in Ephesians and in Galatians and throughout his epistles. So this is not just a once-for with Paul. Paul is deeply concerned about the relationship between the Jewish people and the church. And one of the reasons he's so deeply concerned is because he wants Gentile Christians in particular, those who love the Lord, to have a certain kind of perspective on the Jewish people and who they are and what God's call is upon the Jewish people. And he wants to encourage a good relationship between non-Jewish Christians and Jewish people who are not yet believers and Jewish people who do believe in Jesus. And so he goes to great lengths to explain this relationship and to discuss who the Jewish people are and what God has called the Jewish people to do. And so, Bobby, if you could take us maybe through the first five verses of Romans chapter 9, that would be really wonderful. You do that?
Sure. Yeah, I would love to do that.
Thank you.
And so this is where, again, like the parentheses begins, right? Which isn't really a parenthesis. As Paul is introducing this whole topic, like you said, Mitch, about the relationship and how do we understand Israel now, it comes on the heels of the end of Romans chapter 8, which I think is important to also mention here. Because when we read at the end of Romans 8, it's like, you know, like a beautiful classical masterpiece song. And this is like the apex of the song, like the crescendo, where everything, all the instruments are in tune and they're you know, it's just blasting in your face. And what he's talking about is how really nothing can separate us from the Messiah. That's the way Romans 8 ends. He's going to use everything for good to those who love him and are called according to his purposes. And then at the very end, he says, but in all these things, we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. And it's like, boom, that just hits you right in the feels, right? Right in the heart. And it's such an encouraging word for believers, those of us who have placed our faith in the Messiah. And then beginning in chapter 9, it's almost like Paul's anticipating the follow-up question from his audience. Well, what about Israel then? How can we be so sure that nothing's going to separate us from the love of Messiah, the love of God found in the Messiah, when we look at Israel, when we look at God's chosen people, the covenant people of God that, you know, we trace the history of the relationship between God and Israel all throughout the Old Testament. And we see that when Jesus came the first time, the nation of Israel, God's covenant people, collectively, you know, through the religious leadership, rejected Jesus. And I'm sure by the time Paul is writing this epistle to the Romans, these Roman believers probably experienced some of the pushback from the Jewish community who didn't believe in Jesus during that time. So they're probably left wondering, okay, well, how can we be so sure when we look at Israel and they are, you know, not following the Messiah? Like, you know, what's going on here? I believe that this is really what is motivating Paul in Romans 9, 10, and 11 to write what he writes, so that he's giving us the answers. Okay, don't worry. Nothing will be able to separate us. And God is not done with Israel. God is not done with the Jewish people. Here, let me unpack this for you and tell you what I mean and how Israel still fits into God's long-term plan. You know, that's everything that we've been talking about over these weeks during the season. But the way he starts, Mitch, right? The first five verses, this is how he introduces it. He says, I'm telling the truth in Christ. So it's grabbing the attention of the audience. Like, listen up. This is the truth here. I'm telling you the truth in Christ. I'm not lying. My conscience testifies with me in the Holy Spirit that I have great sorrow and unceasing grief in my heart. So Paul's getting very personal here. He's being transparent with his audience. He's talking about the sincere sorrow and grief, the unceasing grief in his heart that he's dealing with. And what's the source of it? Well, it's the fact that Israel, his kinsmen according to the flesh, have not received the Messiah as a nation. Verse 3, for I could wish that I myself were accursed, separated from the Messiah for the sake of my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh, who are Israelites. You know, this is like an echo of Moses back in Exodus, who was willing, as he was pleading to God on behalf of wayward Israel in the wilderness, saying, wipe me out for the sake of the nation. Paul is basically saying the same thing. His burden is so deep that he's willing to give up his own salvation, if it was possible, for the sake of his people, for the sake of Israel. And that is a serious challenge, I think, that the modern-day Christian should take to heart. Where are we? Do we carry a similar burden? Do we share in the same heartbreak that Paul is expressing here for Israel? I mean, if it was so important for Paul, again, as he's testifying this in under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, where's our heart? I think this is an invitation and a challenge for us as followers of Jesus today to do some introspection and to come before the Lord and see, you know, God, do I have that same heart for Israel? And if not, you know, what can I do?
You know, one of the things that Paul's arguing here for is maybe to give his readers, who are a mixed group of Jews and Gentiles who love Jesus, giving them an appreciation for God's hand and call upon the Jewish people. And so he lists a number of statements here. I think it's kind of a continuation of what he began in Romans chapter 3. And he says that they are Israelites. And then he continues, to whom belongs the adoption as sons? So that's significant. The glory and the covenants, the giving of the law and the temple service and the promises. So in other words, Paul is saying, hey, listen, You need to have an appreciation for the Jewish people. You have to understand that they have an ongoing role in the plan of God, and God gave great things to the Jewish people. Now, that made Jewish people very responsible for the degree of revelation and the gifts from God that they received. And so we not only need to respect the Jewish people because God created the Jewish people and gave them so much, but we also have to appreciate the Jewish people and try and understand that we need to have a burden for these people that God has given so much to,
right,
but they've fallen short if they haven't accepted Jesus as their Savior.
Right.
So in verse 5, you read, "Who are the fathers? From whom is the Christ or Messiah, according to the flesh, who is over all, God bless forever." So, in other words, the Jewish people have been given so much, but they've missed the ultimate jewel of revelation, the person of Jesus, the Messiah. Wouldn't you say that's part of the argument here, Bobby?
Yes. Yes, I would agree with that 100%. And, you know, when I say that this is like an invitation for believers today to kind of take inventory and seek the Lord about this, I'm not saying like, hey, you know, all of us are necessarily called to go into full-time Jewish ministry.
Well, it wouldn't hurt.
It wouldn't hurt. No, it would be great.
You can apply for the Chosen People staff, and the stock benefits are terrific. Oh, wait a minute. We don't have stock, you know. Anyway, the blessings are terrific. The blessings are terrific.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. But it is a challenge to us today, again, to take inventory, to share the same level of concern that Paul does, because this is near and dear, not just to Paul's heart, but we see Yeshua, we see Jesus' heart for Israel, and we see God's love for Israel. So if it's so important to the Lord, it ought to be important to us as well.
Yeah. And then Paul continues and says, verse 6, "It's not as though the word of God has failed." So because the majority of Jewish people have not yet turned to the Messiah, it doesn't mean that God's word has failed or that the Jewish people as a nation have completely fallen out of grace or favor with God. You know, the argument that Paul's going to make in Romans 9, 10, and 11 is in fact the Jewish people have not fallen out of favor with God. And let me point to one phrase in verse 4 that is so important, and that is the glory and the covenants. Now, those covenants, those agreements, those holy sacred agreements that God makes with people and with nations is extremely important. God made a covenant with Abraham. He made a covenant with David. He made a covenant with Moses. And through the mouth of Jeremiah, he revealed a new covenant that would actually be made with Jesus himself.
Yeah.
And so these covenants are critical. But the Abrahamic covenant is a foundational covenant. And God made that covenant with no restrictions and no conditions. So the Jewish people would ultimately be preserved as a people. And we see that how many people have tried to destroy the Jewish people?
Right.
And yet the Jewish people continue. And then the Jewish people would have the land. Now, how long have the Jewish people been outside of Israel without the land? And yet now, incredibly so, 7.8, almost 8 million Jewish people have returned to the land of Israel. And we'll throw in a bonus. Even Hebrew is a modern language. And so we see that God's covenant that he made with Abraham is an everlasting covenant. And so Jewish people are still a people, though others have tried to destroy us, and still have the land, even though we've been away from it for so long.
Yeah.
So there are certain signs, Bobby, to show that God's hand of favor is still on the Jewish people, but it doesn't mean that individual Jewish people are going to heaven. But Paul's argument right here is that some will.
Right, right. And another, just a grammatical note on this, Mitch. When we start reading in verse 4, it's all present tense. He doesn't say to whom belonged the adoption as sons. No, it belongs. It's present tense. These are currently active promises and blessings that God has, you know, bestowed upon Israel, to whom belongs
exactly
the adoption of sons, and the glory, and the covenants, and the giving of the Torah, and the temple service, and the promises. These are our current, you know, active, present, ongoing blessings that God has given to Israel.
Well, you know, when Paul was writing, the temple was still standing.
Right.
Yeah, because the temple was destroyed in 70 AD and Romans is going to be from the early 60s. And so we know that the temple was standing and people could actually see what Paul is writing about mm-hmm. if they visited Israel. What's also critical here is there's a doctrine of the remnant that probably begins way back in the Old Testament. And you could tell that Paul is now functioning as a great rabbi because he's illustrating this theological truth by telling the story of Isaac and Jacob and of Sarah and Esau and so on, and even going in verse 17 as far back to Egypt. So Paul the rabbi is reaching back to tell a story. And it is a story where many Jewish people were resistant to God. That's true. And if God had chosen the Swedes, Italians, Germans, or Cambodians, forgive me if I'm offending you, I don't mean to, I'm just trying to tell you that it's human nature to be resistant to God because we have a sin nature. But God chose the Jewish people, and there were Jewish people who were resistant to obedience to God, and they didn't obey the Torah, as we say, the five books of Moses. But there were a group, like Noah represented, there was always a group who obeyed God. If you remember the story Paul used in Romans chapter 11, where he went back to the story of Elijah on Mount Carmel, he resisted the Baal worshipers and then fled to the Sinai desert, hid in a cave, and said, "I'm the only one that's left, take my life." And God said, "No, there are 7,000 who have not bowed the knee to Baal." The lesson, Paul said in Romans 11:5, is that there is currently a remnant according to God's gracious choice. Paul is not saying that individual Jews have been replaced by individual Gentiles.
Right.
What Paul is saying here is that there is a remnant of Jewish people, for they are not all Israel who are descended from Israel. Well, of course, they are from Israel ethnically, but they're not Israel according to faith. But there is a remnant of Jewish people, and I am happy to tell you, brothers and sisters, that by God's grace, I'm part of that remnant. And I thank God for that every day of my life. And I wish more of my family and my friends were part of that remnant. But you never know, because you have to keep trying. Keep telling them about the Lord and keep loving them in the name of Yeshua. And there's hope until the last breath. That's what I believe. So you never really know who's part of that remnant. But we know that that remnant today is growing in the U.S., in Israel, and around the world. And it's a sign of the times, Bobby. The Lord is coming soon, and the remnant is growing. And one day, the remnant will become the nation. As Paul said, in that day, all Israel will be saved.
And right now, we're just going to pause and listen to some messianic music. So sit back, enjoy, and worship the Lord. You're listening to The Chosen People, which is produced and sponsored by Chosen People Ministries. In 1894, Rabbi Leopold Cohen began ministering to the Jewish people in Brooklyn, New York. And since those humbling beginnings, this nonprofit ministry has made it our mission to combine God's love with practical on-ground support. And if you'd like to learn more about this ministry or this weekly program, just go online at chosenpeople.com/radio.
And friend, when you reach out, we'll send you a messianic calendar free of charge. This calendar is a great way to stay up to date on all the biblical feast days, the weekly Torah portion readings, readings from the five books of Moses, and what we're doing around the world. So request your free copy this year of our messianic Jewish calendar. We'll send it to you right away when you call 888-2-YESHUA. That's Y-E-S-H-U-A. That's the Hebrew name for Jesus. And once again, the number to call is 888-293-7482.
You can also request the Messianic calendar by going online to chosenpeople.com/radio. Or you can ask for it when you write to us today at Chosen People Ministries, 241 East 51st Street in New York, New York, 10022. That's 241 East 51st Street, New York, New York, 10022. We look forward to hearing from you soon. And now let's close our program with the Aaronic benediction.
Yivrech Adonai v'yishmarecha. Ya'er Adonai panav alecha v'ikunecha. Yisa Adonai panav alecha, v'yasem lecha shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord lift his countenance upon you and be gracious to you. May the face of the Lord shine upon you and give you peace. B'shem Shel Yeshua HaMashiach, Sar Shalom, in the name of Jesus the Messiah, the Prince of Peace.